This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 1169, How to Understand Vocabulary on IELTS Reading.
Welcome to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English, downloaded more than 22 million times with former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz. If you are stuck with a low score, our insider method will help you get the score you need to unlock your dreams. Get your estimated band score now with our two-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore.
How can you understand different vocabulary on the IELTS reading exam? Today, we share three tips that will help you decipher tricky words and be ready to find answers on test day. Aubrey, what? I'm starting this with a very serious question.
Yes, you are.
Aubrey, do you feel like you have a large vocabulary?
Yes, I do. My vocabulary is quite massive and impressive. So, there are times every now and then I'll use a word. It happened recently. I said exacerbate and someone was like, excuse me? I'm like, oh, that just means to make it worse. And they're like, I've never heard that word. They had to look in the dictionary. So even compared to a lot of natives, I think I do probably mostly from reading a lot.
Yeah.
I have quite an extensive vocabulary. Yes, you as well, right?
Yeah, totally. Yes, and my 11-year-old son has an enormous vocabulary. Adults are always impressed with how eloquent he is. But the reason we're talking about vocabulary today, guys, is because, of course, you need to have a pretty substantial vocabulary to do well on the IELTS exam. And we're always getting questions from students, especially regarding unfamiliar vocabulary in reading, right? So that's what we're focusing on today. We're going to give you guys a couple different strategies to figure out unknown words. But this advice comes with a caveat. That's also one of my favorite words right now. What does caveat mean?
Caveat? It means there's a warning here, sort of. There's something we need to tell you about this information that's vital to know.
It's such a great word. It's French, isn't it?
Caveat. Yes, that is French.
Right? Okay. So anyway, this warning, guys, is that don't drown yourself in these unknown words. Don't focus on the things that are unknown and push aside the knowledge you already have and the strategies for finding answers, because you don't need to understand every word to get the right answer in IELTS reading, right?
Yeah. In fact, a lot of the most unfamiliar words, the most uncommon words, will be a distraction from the answer. And so don't spend a lot of time getting bogged down trying to figure out very difficult words. Recognize that they might be distracting you and the answer is not by that word.
Totally. So, guys, the crazy looking words that you've never seen before, you probably don't need to know what that word means. Having said that, though, we do know a lot of students still don't have enough vocabulary to find the answers and understand what they need. So we're going to give you guys some help today to figure out these words that you need to know to get the answer. So, Aubrey, what is the first way we can guess the meaning of a new word?
Yes. Check and see if the word has a suffix or a prefix, something that's coming before or after, which will give you a hint as to its meaning. For example, anti will mean it's the opposite of something, right? We're going to give you a couple others here that you can look out for in order to figure out the meaning of a word.
Yeah, exactly. So knowing all the pieces of words, guys, this is so important. And it's quite fun, actually. I find it really fun when I see like a long word that is unfamiliar. And yes, this does still happen to native speakers, right? We don't know every single word in the English language. But when we see new words that are really long, I love being able to parse out the pieces and like riddle out what the meaning is. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, I think of the word anti-disestablishmentarianism. The first time you see that word and you're like, okay, let's pull this word apart and look at all the different parts.
It's so fun. It's so fun. It's like a puzzle, you know?
Right.
So anyways, here's a couple examples, guys. So prefixes. Pre is actually a prefix. What does pre mean?
That means before. So some good examples are predestined. You see destined or destination, destiny in there. And pre, before. So that'd be something that was destined to happen before something else.
Yes. So it's something that was meant to be, we could say, right? Like this thing that will happen, it's supposed to happen, right? This thing is supposed to happen. We planned on it. Predestined. So preview, view, you know that word, guys. That's like look at, see, watch. So preview means to look at something before, right? So a preview for a movie. That's the ad you see to get you to want to watch the movie before it comes out.
Yes. And then think about the prefix non, which means the opposite or un, right? Like nonplussed is a very good word, right? Jessica, what does that mean?
Nonplussed is an adjective, meaning like you are not very pleased with this thing. So let's see if we could figure this out from the root word and the prefix. So plus, you can picture that, the plus sign, it's a positive, right? And then non is like, oh, not positive. So you can totally guess what this word means, right? It means not positive. And that's correct. Like that is exactly what it means. You feel not positive about something. That's a great adjective for IELTS speaking and writing, by the way.
Right? Very high level. Definitely sneak that into your speaking exam, into your essays. And yeah, just think about non-verbal. Non any word, if non's before, it's the opposite of something. That something is not that.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Exactly. I love it. And then suffixes. So for example, A-N-T as a suffix means a person. So an assistant, right? Assist, to help. So an assistant is a person who helps. Like that is their job. Or E-R-Y, usually a place of work, a business, right? So bakery, for example, a place where things are baked and sold. And then also armory. So armor, arm, these are old words for like weapons, right? So an armory is a place where weapons are made or sold.
Yes, awesome. This will help a lot, guys. Just first step, check for a prefix or suffix and try to pull apart the meaning of that based on the roots and the prefixes and suffix, the pieces of the word, the building blocks of the word.
I love it. Now, the second way you can figure out unfamiliar vocabulary, cognates. What is that, Aubrey?
Yeah, this is a word that is very similar in English to your first language. So if you speak a Latin language, there are a lot of cognates that are similar between the languages. So here's an example. The word composition, and then everything related, composite, compost. These all are cognates in English from the Latin root componere. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I don't speak Latin, but it means to put together. So when you know that root, which may be very similar if you speak Italian, Spanish, French, any romance language, then you're going to recognize that root from words in your first language and you can figure out what that word means. Now, this comes with a caveat as well. This comes with a warning that there are a lot of false cognates, right, Jessica?
Yeah, totally, guys. Excuse me, I'm fighting a little cold. Yeah, so this is where learning on your own is not always the only way to go, right? We do need feedback from a native speaker sometimes, because if you assume that the word you're saying in English has the same meaning as it does in your first language, you may be incorrect, right? These are called false cognates or false friends. So for example, embarrassed, right? Embarrassed in English, it's like, oh, I feel shame. Oh no. But in Spanish, embarazada means pregnant. And hopefully those things are not
They should connected. Not be related. Maybe once upon related. A time. Not anymore, you guys.
what's one from French, Aubrey?
There's a good one in French. The word English, pain, P-A-I-N, like something hurts you, you're in pain, is spelled exactly the same as the word bread in French, pain. So it's funny because I think of there's a restaurant, Le Pain Quotidien, which means daily bread. But when people who don't speak French read that restaurant name, they're like, pain quotidien. And they're like, the word pain is in that restaurant. I don't know if I'm interested in that.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. And then the third way, guys, and honestly, this is the most important skill to get used to, I think. The first two strategies are amazing, but they're obviously not going to work for every word, right? What if there is no prefix? What if you don't know the root word meaning? Then you're just kind of lost, right? So this next way, guys, is super important, and it is a skill you can practice on your own. So this is deciphering what this word means from context, right? Using context clues. It means look at the information around it, understand what you can, and guess the meaning of that gap, right? What is that unfamiliar word in the middle you're not sure of? So I just looked at a recent headline in the New York Times to give you guys an example of this. So the title is More Pandemic Fallout, The Chronically Absent Student. So these days we know what most of those words mean, right? And then we see chronically absent and we think, okay, I think absent means not there, right? But this adverb is very important, right? What is this describing exactly? So then we could look at the subtitle and it says, at one middle school, more than 40% of the students have been chronically absent this year. Districts are going to great lengths offering gift cards, night classes to reach them. So if we understand that sentence, right? School districts are trying to give them presents, offered night classes. It means like, these absences are a serious problem. So we can guess that chronically absent just means absent a lot. And that is what it means.
Yes, exactly. Even just from that title, if you think about the context of the pandemic, you know that absences for children are happening a lot, right? You're aware of that. You're keeping up with the news. So you know chronically isn't going to mean this doesn't happen very often, right? If it has to do with the pandemic, you have that context clue of like, what are absences like during the pandemic, right? And then you're looking for the context clues, the next sentence to pull out, what does this mean?
And here's the last thing I'll say about this, just to extend on what you said, Aubrey, because using your own knowledge of the world is also extremely important when you're making educated guesses, right? So when we say context clues, it's not purely the words that you're seeing. It's your own understanding of these ideas and the background and the context of this idea, right? So our knowledge of what's happening in the world will help us understand these IELTS reading passages as well.
Yes, exactly. So tap into that and make sure you're really expanding your knowledge of the world, reading the news, listening to podcasts, paying attention to what's going on. Don't just take IELTS practice tests, because you do need to be aware of what's happening in the world, getting vocabulary from everywhere, and then you will be successful on test day.
All right, guys. So remember, we have a free IELTS quiz for you that comes along with free resources based on the score you get. So go right now to allearsenglish.com/myscore and check that out.
Yes.
All right. Awesome, Aubrey. Thanks for talking vocab today.
Yes. Awesome. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to IELTS Energy. Hit subscribe now and don't forget to find your estimated band score at allearsenglish.com/myscore.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.